In the middle of our newsroom here at Politico, we've got campaign posters from almost every candidate who's running or ran for president.
We have a Buttigieg one up there. We have a Beto one.
And when they drop out, a post-it reading RIP is slapped over it.
Which is a little morbid because they're not actually dead, but as far as our coverage goes, they probably are at least.
It's kind of like a graveyard.
It's a graveyard. We have a graveyard.
I'm Jeremy Siegel, and this is Politico Dispatch, where we take you inside the newsroom of Politico. And as voters head to the polls on Super Tuesday, that graveyard is getting pretty crowded.
Slap an RIP right on to them.
When Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar dropped out of the presidential race, the saddest person in the room might have been Elena Schneider.
The past couple hours have been pretty intense.
Elena covered both campaigns for Politico, and she was up until 4 a.m. reporting after Buttigieg suspended his run.
So then I got a couple of hours sleep.
And then Klobuchar dropped out too.
I mean, it is a little bit emotional because you've spent so much of the last year of your life sort of devoted to studying the careers, records, and hearing these candidates talk endlessly and everywhere from, you know, I was in Minnesota when Amy Klobuchar announced and it was so cold.
Like, are you guys even cold? Tell the truth.
Politico reporters follow their candidates so closely, it's like they form this weird bond, this kind of one-sided relationship where you follow their every move, and they might not even know who you are. Elena trudged through the ice and snow for Amy.
I'd lost feeling in my thumbs and could no longer type on my phone because they didn't recognize it as, like, human fingers, to, like, you know, following them at the state fair.
All right! Hello, Iowa! How you doing? What a crowd! I see you all the way in the back. Go Irish.
They did have campaign songs. So Pete's was this song called High Hopes by Panic at the Disco. And I certainly have a little bit of PTSD where every time I hear that come on, I twinge a little bit because it's annoyingly catchy.
How does it go? Can you sing just
no,
a little bit of it? Come on.
Sing. I will absolutely not sing for you. I will not dance either because there was a campaign dance for it, and I will do neither of those things.
Yeah, it's awful. So, Elena, both of these candidates had high hopes, but now they are dropping out and endorsing Joe Biden. What do you think that means for tonight's primaries?
So I think that for both of them, it became clear that being able to pull out a surprise victory in Super Tuesday was hard, if not impossible. And they've both talked often and frequently about how much they do not want Bernie Sanders to be the standard bearer for the Democratic Party. And if their sort of path was foreclosed on, that they needed to go with somebody who could actually win. And obviously, Joe Biden's really strong 30-point victory in South Carolina really played heavily in both their minds in terms of how and why they decided get out of the race. So by both of them making this decision to endorse Biden on the eve of Super Tuesday, obviously the hope is that that will then consolidate support behind him to provide, you know, this moderate alternative to Bernie Sanders that a lot of the party has been talking about and saying that they want ever since it became clear that Bernie Sanders was sort of on a real upward trajectory out of those first four early states.
On top of those early states, another place where Sanders has a lot of support is California, the biggest Super Tuesday prize. In past elections, the Golden State has had a much later primary, but this year, it's different.
You're finally seeing candidates doing what they have never done in California, which is actually going to voters face to face.
That's Carla Marinucci, who writes Politico's California Playbook.
Bernie Sanders doing almost rock star events here in California. I mean, you're talking about 10,000 people showing up in San Jose.
This is the loudest group I've ever heard.
Polling shows Sanders as the clear favorite in California, but a lot of voters are waiting until the last minute to send in their mail-in ballots. And that means it could take a long time to count up all the votes there.
California's results may not be known for days, if not weeks, because a lot of these mail-in ballots that used to come in weeks ahead of time are going to come in at the last day. And California will count those ballots until 3 days after, if they reach the state 3 days after.
Over on the other side of the country, recent polling has Elizabeth Warren behind Sanders in her home state. Politico's Stephanie Murray has a quick dispatch for us from Massachusetts looking at what a loss there tonight could mean for Warren's campaign.
If she loses Massachusetts to him, it's going to be a pretty tough blow to her campaign, especially because she hasn't been able to gain much traction in New Hampshire, Iowa, Nevada. If you can't even win your own home state, I mean, why should voters have faith in you? So this is going to be a pretty tough test for her. But on the other hand, some of her supporters and then some people who aren't even affiliated with her say, you know, it doesn't matter. At this point, it's all about the delegates. So as long as she gets the delegates she needs on Super Tuesday, winning a state or losing a state doesn't really matter.
And the delegate numbers are certainly something to keep an eye on tonight. Bernie Sanders is currently in the lead with 60 delegates. Joe Biden has 53 of them. In order to get the Democratic nomination, a candidate needs 1,991 delegates. Tonight, there are more than 1,300 delegates up for grabs. As for how it all turns out, subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening. We'll be back later tonight with up-to-date info on the results. And that does it for today's Dispatch from Politico. Our team includes Irene Noguchi, Jenny Amon, Adrian Hurst, and Annie Reese. Until next time, here is a little campaign earworm for you. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.